Are we just going to brush by that she said have a hanger? Are we just going to brush by that? I don't care if you got a peeping rat. You got to take care of business.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, a weekly look at everything going on inside the world of CinemaSins. I'm Aaron Dicer, and I'm joined as always by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And Danae Hughes.
Hi.
We write for Cinema Sins and TV Sins and do various other things inside the Cinema Sins universe as well.
I don't know why
the funniest thing you've ever done is just say hi, but that just happened.
Real quick on introductions, though, I do have to say if none of you guys have listened to the Spiral mini pod, even if you have no interest in the movie Spiral, just listen to the opening because Aaron says the most depressing hello I have ever heard in my life.
What did it sound like?
It
was a horror movie. I was trying something new. Leave me alone.
He was trying something new, and it kind of came off just a little sad.
It did.
It's the best thing ever.
So yes, welcome to yet another BTS. We are excited to be with you today. It is interesting because this week I have been probably to more things outside my house than in the entire 14 months previous to this week. I had graduation. We had a band concert for one of my sons, like at the school where they, you know, they're letting people in and doing that kind of thing. I've been out to eat a couple times. Vaccination life, man, it's good. And I'm really starting to feel like, and the numbers continue to take a dive. Like, man, it's exciting times.
Yeah.
And again, anything can happen, fingers crossed, but this last week was really interesting and fun for them.
I think, well, this past week, I was just sick, so I didn't get to go anywhere,
sorry about that.
No, it's all good. It's totally worth it, you know. That second vaccine, though, can be a bit of a kick to the ass, so just be prepared for that.
Yeah.
Hydrate constantly. But anyways, next week, my daughter in school. And so I think, I think starting to get out, enjoy the outside is going to be a thing coming up very quickly for us. So
the outside world.
Yes.
Yeah. And again, complete grace and permission for everybody to handle it however you need to handle it as things kind of change. And it can be scary and all that kind of stuff. Because again, we have lived in this just weird, strange world for 14 months or 15 months or whatever it's been. And so, changing back from that it's going to be different for everybody. But yeah, for me this week, and my wife even mentioned it. She was like, man, it's been so great to see you get out of the house. And I think for her, it was also...
She thought you were turning into Amy Adams in Woman in the Window.
No. No, you're joking, but I think that is part of it. There was a part of her that was afraid, like, how much I love being a hermit, that this was going to be an excuse to, like, be a hermit for the rest of my life.
My wife expressed to me, like, maybe when I went to the movies a few weeks ago, my wife, I think, breathed, like, a sigh of relief that I chose to go do something. She really did, and... She said something to me. Yeah, I was starting to get a little concerned that maybe you just weren't going to...
Ever?
We don't work out of the house either, right?
Right,
so, I mean, that's part of it. My daughter was being distance learning, so I didn't have to go pick up my daughter from school. I mean, it was really just...
Yeah.
I was homebound for a long time, so...
Yeah.
When I was like, I think I might go to a movie, my wife was immediately like, yes, you should go.
Yeah,
you should absolutely do that.
100%. Yeah,
shoot,
for like four
shoot.
Hours.
Yeah,
I bought concert tickets this morning. My daughter's going with me to an Alice Cooper concert in October. So
one of the last things I did before all this happened was one of my sons and I went to see Weird Al live in concert. And
I still wish I'd seen him.
Very, very fondly. So, yeah, fun times. It's a new world, but yet BTS here. Week after week, doing our thing. By the way, episode 100, welcome.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Congrats, guys.
So congrats on that. We are going to celebrate with a 2-year anniversary that should be coming up soon of the podcast.
Can
and we'll talk more about
it. It will be
stuff
six
then,
hours.
So. No,
it won't, it won't be.
Just the pressure, the pressure that just came down on me when you said that was just like, I could feel, I was like, no, no.
We should each editing 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, we should like each edit our own version of the show.
It'll be a normal length show.
No, it'll be very extra fun. Super long because according to our survey that we did at the very, very beginning, it's been a long time, but people would listen to our show even if it was like 3 hours long.
Yeah, Aaron.
Yeah, so. It's true. Having said all that, it'll probably be shorter. I'm not kidding. I'm not lying. It'll actually probably be a shorter episode.
But, man, I'm just saying everything wrong. Sorry.
But we'll
put
have
a bunch
good
of stress on Aaron
way.
With my joke. Sorry.
We should just do an outtakes only episode.
Would that make them outtakes or would they then be intakes?
I mean, as a little, we recap our, you know, talk about our favorite things, recap our moments, reflect, and it's just all us just in our shenanigans, completely outtakes.
Full shenanigans. I like it. Well, that's not what we're doing this week, so let's get into this inside scoop.
What's he building in there?
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
This is a true story.
We're going to take a look at the videos from the week, the process of sending them, how we felt about the stuff we're sending in general. We kick it off with commercial sins. Big green egg. Can I just say, didn't know this was a thing. Never had heard about it before in
really?
My life. Had
never.
No clue what this was.
To be fair, I don't grill. So
right, me either.
I know very little about grills. It's not a skill I have. Like I have tried. I just don't have the skill. I'm a stovetop kind of guy. So
we decided to get a new grill. We bought a grill 4 years ago. No. We bought my dad a grill 4 years ago, and he gave us the one that it was replacing. Mm-hmm. And our deal to each other was if we can learn how to use this grill, then in a few years we can figure out if we want to upgrade the grill. And Justin has done a great job learning, and he loves it. So we bought a nice grill. And then we had a couple of friends come over to the house because we also are starting to do more. They're very particular. They like nice things. And I forgot that he works for a place that sells these green egg things. Like he actually,
oh, no.
So he comes over and the first thing he does is start judging us on our brand new grill and how
no.
we could have done better with the green egg. And I was just like, dude, that's bold and brave. I am just opening up my home to people again. And the first mm-hmm. thing you're going to do when you come into my house is judge my grill.
Grill shaming.
Yeah.
People that are into grilling, man, they're really into it, right?
Green eggers, man. They're intense, apparently.
Green eggers.
I don't know what Barrett and Jeremy use, but I know Barrett and Jeremy, they share, you know, their weekend, you know, grilling.
Yeah,
stuff.
Like Barrett's got a smoker.
Barrett's really
he's
into
super
it.
Yeah. Into Barrett, it.
He's super into that stuff.
Yeah.
If you want the if you go to Barrett's, you're hanging out by the smoker talking about life.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
But I'd never heard of it.
He makes,
so.
Barrett, by the way, makes the best barbecue ever had in my life. Just
oh, nice.
Fire. Yeah.
I would love to try that sometime. Yeah, I had never heard of it. So I really don't have a lot of thoughts on the product in general. And I'm also not, my wife does all the grilling for us. Like if we ever do burgers and dogs or whatever, she's the one that likes to get out there and do that. So, you know, I really know nothing about grilling. So,
yeah, it usually involves flames.
Right?
I can tell you that.
There's
you
a skill to it, though.
That is the thing. Like, there's an element of danger there that
oh, yeah.
I think I stay away from. You
this
know?
Is why we did not grill. The grill that we had previous, the lighter, the igniter button was broken mm-hmm. on it. And so you had to turn on the propane and then take a lighter, you know, wait for the kind of propane to sort of build up in the atmosphere and then, like, mm-hmm. hit it and then it would light.
Yeah.
And my husband is terrified of this, like that particular part, because he's afraid, of course, everything's going to blow up, you know?
Yeah.
And it did not help that one of the first times he went to go light it, he had let it run far too long. And so when he stuck the flame out, it did like the thing, you know? And it was intimidating. And he was like, oh, yeah, jumped back.
Danae's husband has no eyebrows.
He has no eyebrows. He legitimately will stand about 2 feet away from it. And since he's got really long arms, he's 6'6", so he's, or 6'5", so
yeah,
really long arms. He'll just stand as far away as possible and just reach over and like turn his head the other direction and just click it into the air. It's pretty great. The new one does not require so much, but it is dangerous. Grilling is dangerous. You have to be prepared.
I was just built with that extra portion of caution into me or whatever. Like adrenaline doesn't do it for me. Like I remember the first time I rode a jet ski, and I was like, nope, I'm out. This is not fun. This is dumb. Somebody's going to drown. Somebody's going to die. Like, and my wife is out there just like ramping waves. And
no, I do that. I do that. No, I would grill if I had the, I just, there's an art to it that I've never been able to master.
Yeah. We're getting there. This new grill is really nice. There is something about the upgrade to, I want to say, this is probably super wrong, but I want to say that they're, what the meat is placed on top of is porcelain or something. Like there's something about the surface that the meat is now being grilled upon that is supposedly better. But I have noticed that our food tastes a little bit different with this new grill. And I really am excited about it. Yeah, and he's excited about it too. I do want to point out that someone in the chat said, taste the meat, not the heat. And I really loved that a lot. So I'm going to have to take that one to Justin.
So Aaron, you've never been a motorcycle guy. You've never ridden motorcycles,
no,
or anything like
them.
That.
Hey, like I wish they didn't exist. Jonathan, like I just like.
Do you think Jonathan knows about my motorcycle riding days?
Oh yeah, Danae.
I grew up on them. I got my first motorcycle when I was 8 years old.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well then, we want to talk about my experience.
I have uncles that race dirt bikes, and I don't ride them anymore. My wife's terrified of them, so I don't ride them anymore. My mother used to ride a Harley. She quit doing that a few years ago when my stepfather got sick. But
Yeah, I just see death. That's just all. Like I just like that. Whatever it is that is in me, like
then you shouldn't ride them.
Yes, exactly. Let's get into it a little bit. By the way, Jeremy wrote this one. This was a Jeremy Scott script for the Big Green Egg. Danae, why don't you kick us off? What are some of your favorite sins from this one?
My favorite sin was the "You don't know what I'm dying, bitches." It's my favorite one. I liked this one a lot, but that one made me laugh.
Yeah, this one's really funny. I liked "So It's an Instapot."
Yeah,
that one. No.
Those are the two I had.
So. Really?
Well, yeah. Nice. Well, there
you go. We are the same person.
We are.
You don't know when I'm dying, do you?
Do you?
Do you?
All right, then we can move on to TV sins. Doing another episode of The Big Bang Theory, The Friendship Algorithm. This was a Hughes Watkins script. Jonathan and Danae writing on this one. As is per usual with Big Bang theories.
Yeah.
You two have kind of been the go-to on those.
Yeah,
I've seen the show. I'm the only one that's actually watched like the entire series or the majority of it. I think I've seen every episode.
Yeah. And I was
some
really
of these early
on
ones
one.
I've seen several times because my wife used to, it's in syndication, you know, it's like in the afternoons, I'll show back-to-back episodes. My wife used to watch those quite a bit, so I would catch them again every now and then if I was watching them with her. But I'm not quite the fan she is, but I don't know. I think I've said this in the past. I like the cast for the most part, and they do play off each other well. So that aspect of it, I think for a sitcom, that's part of what makes a sitcom work, I think. So that aspect of it, I think they have down, but it's just not, you know, it's not funny consistently enough, really. I still don't know why I watched so many episodes of it. I think I just got kind of used to it. It was just my weekly thing. So,
well, you guys do great on these scripts. I love, Jonathan, your knowledge of the world and kind of seeing everything and your ability to understand the characters on a broad level. Mm-hmm. Danae, I love how you point out the things that haven't aged well, like the sexism that's just inherent in this show, like right from the beginning.
Danae hates Penny's clothing. I like Penny's clothing.
Listen, I didn't say I hated it. I do enjoy
say she hate looking at it.
I didn't say I hated her clothing.
No, it's just
I
everybody said, else is all like doll, like they have like jacket. Yeah,
and that's something I've actually noticed in every episode is that the guys
that's
wear like four shirts. They have an undershirt, then they have a t-shirt, then they have a long sleeve shirt, then they have a t-shirt over that or a jacket.
It's incredible. In California, by the way, they're in California.
Really?
I think
send that.
I think so. I think that's right. No, they have to be because they go to like they like go to conventions and stuff and like San Diego and stuff. So I think they're like, I think they're in LA.
Should send that then, because it's really to me distracting when you're
younger and you don't have muscles and you're kind of puny and you don't really like your body, you wear a lot more clothing. That's just,
I guess so.
I know I did. So
I guess, I guess so.
So what happens in this episode? Is it a good episode, Jonathan? Is this one of the better episodes?
I think there's not, no, it's not as good as some of the other ones we've covered for sure. Cause I don't like, all of a sudden I forgot his name. The guy he's trying to be friends with.
Oh yeah. I'll look it up for you.
He's got he's got like this, like, I mean, A, we didn't even really talk about it, but he's got this ridiculous lisp. Not that people don't have lisp, but like the way they play it in the show, it's just kind of obnoxious and it's kind of insensitive, I would say. Kripke. I just remembered it.
Good job.
And I just, I don't know. I always found him very annoying for various reasons. So I never really cared when he was there. And then is there even a B plot? I'm trying to remember what the B plot was.
No, I guess there really
I guess there really isn't yeah.
on this
yeah.
one. Essentially, the whole point is that Kripke has control of a specific machine at work. And in order for the idea at the very beginning is that in order to access this machine to be able to process the data for an experiment, you have to be friends with Kripke to get on the list. So yeah. Sheldon decides he wants to create a friendship. He attempts to do that. It fails. So he comes up with this plan to friend him, which includes reading a book. It includes the flow chart. And then, of course, the shenanigans of like going to places with Kripke and then inviting him back to the house and him interacting with the people and having kind of the end of it, which is the revelation at the end is that mm-hmm. you don't have to be friends with Kripke at all. There's just a list you have to get on. And so that's whenever he's immediately booted back out of the friendship group.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know, the humor is just not there for me. The one scene I do find kind of funny, though, even though we definitely sent it because it's cringy, but I love Sheldon, or the act, who's that? It's Jim
Parsons.
Jim Parsons. Mm-hmm. I like Jim Parsons, how he plays that scene in the bookstore with the little girl, because it's just, he has no idea that what he's doing is inappropriate at all. And yeah. and it's not like it gets like real creepy or anything, but it's just, you know, he's like, you can be my new friend and all that stuff. So that's like the one scene that like I genuinely laugh at, but the rest of the show, but it's a fan favorite, you know? So right. I'm an idiot, I guess.
No. That's what I was going to say. It sounds like one of those things where the episode has a bunch of like things that fans remember.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I remember the flow chart, or I remember mm-hmm. that scene with the girl, or I remember that, like, and
well,
so
he also passes
yeah, it has a
out
high rating.
While he's yeah. climbing.
God,
and that
so
that
dumb.
Part, I think, is probably a surprising moment when he has a panic attack and he says, I'm going to pass out. And then just, like, you know, ragdolls backwards.
I love how you send the asshole standing at the bottom just looking up at him yeah. and not helping him at all.
Yeah,
and it's a great outtake with at the end with that from Christmas Story.
Oh yeah,
so good.
Randy lay there like a helpless slug. It was his yeah. only defense.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah,
I'll start us off with the sins since you guys wrote on this one. My very first one was one we've already mentioned: dressing every character except the female in 7 layers of clothing. I love those kind of observations. Looking for a murder mystery, this section here. Oh, wait,
so
no,
good.
This is the math section. And then just the continued breakdown of how all those books were just random
books.
Did you
books. Look up those, were those titles? Like, did you look up the titles, Danae?
Yeah, that'll be my keeping tabs.
Because I was like, how did you know that was a murder mystery? Because it looked like a vampire book to me or something. Like, I couldn't figure out what it was.
Yeah.
This girl doesn't immediately find an adult, and I blame her parents for forgetting to teach her this very important rule. If a stranger wants to show you a monkey, punch him in the funky junkie. Thank you for that. That was a pleasure to deliver. Everyone around this table is willing to endure Sheldon booting out their friend Raj for answering a question incorrectly. None of these friendships are healthy. Everyone here is toxic. Loved that very much.
You know, and I then also like that the comments like back that up. Like, thank you.
Oh,
I've been saying
wrong.
That
yeah.
for years.
Yeah. I think the show does that on purpose, which is also, but at some point it's just not funny anymore, right? And I think that also factors into how things age, which, you know.
And then I have to mention the pièce de résistance, the food poking bonus round. holy cow.
I don't even know.
It's like a masterpiece. It is a masterpiece. It is so funny. It's like, it's one of those things where you read the comments on this video and it's like three out of every four is like, food bonus round is amazing.
I was so pleased by that. I went there today. It was the first time to look at the comments today, this morning. And I was sort of stunned by it. But the bonus round made me laugh every single time.
It is.
I watched it. There's just, and then there's that one run where he pokes that fucking salad like 13 times.
So it was just something like, it just got on your nerves when you were watching the show, because I never would have caught that. That's why we have two writers.
I watched that. So I watched it through one time. I watched it through the second time, which is I usually review the TV shows at least twice fully, right? And then I'll go back and see like specific parts, or I'll go back to a specific scene and like maybe try to find something else to that could be there that maybe I missed. But for the most part, I do two solid views on every TV Sins episode. But this one I watched three times because I realized at the end of watching it the second time through that I was so distracted by all the times they poked the food. I'm like, that's a bonus round, right? That has to be. So I went back and I watched and I counted every single time they stabbed their food, and I made, you know, all the marks and stuff for that. And I wrote up for the editors, I'm like, this is kind of the vision that I have. I would love it to be every time it's poked, there's like a little plus one that just pops out of their food. And it was a beast for them to do. I applaud Ashley. Thank you for bringing that to life, because it is one of the best things I think I've ever done.
Food in this show is insane, because there's so many scenes with them just sitting around the couch eating, or they're at the cafeteria at work eating. Like, it's kind of amazing. I mean, they must have serious exercise regimes, because I don't know how else they stay in the shape
they're in. Well, they don't eat. They just poke their
food.
That's true. But it's also like that acting 101 thing, right? Like, what are you doing with your hands?
Yeah.
You got to do something with your hands. And it's like, that's all they do. And it's like, it was great. It was a great thing to notice, and I'm glad you did. The editor sent us a sample of it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time I've ever seen that. I was confused as to what was going on.
Yeah, because it was going to take so long for them to put together. She did the first scene of them sitting at the table, and it was like, let's just make sure this is what you want. And I was like, oh, it's so good.
Oh, yeah, because if she had done all of that,
so
and then you were
beautiful.
Like, if she had done all of that, though, and then you were like, that's not what I wanted.
I know.
She would have killed us.
It would have been awful. I would have been murdered.
Actually, if you could move every plus one just about half a millimeter to the
just
left.
Just a little bit. No, it was
sounds
perfect.
So good to me.
Appreciate
it was so perfect. And I also kind of enjoy, you know, part of our job is to be a little trolly, as we know. And many of the comments, and even during the live chat, is like, that is all I will see watching the show now, since it happened so much. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I kind of ruined it for you, didn't I? Oopsie.
Well, and you will start noticing it in other things too, because it is very much an actor thing. Because you don't want to be eating nonstop during like 20 different takes.
But it's still this shows, like, they have a choice that every scene does not need to contain food. That's a choice that they're making. You know? It is all over the place. Almost every scene has food in it.
We recently talked about this in Enchanted. There's a scene at a pizza place where they never touch the pizza. And there was almost a sin in that, that in that entire room, nobody takes a bite of food in the background. The entire time through that entire scene, no one eats any food.
Can you imagine?
It's something you'll just start noticing. You'll just start noticing
and
that.
And it's frustrating as somebody who loves
is hungry.
Food. Yeah. And loves pizza. Like, how are you not? Yeah, you're just screaming at the TV. Eat the goddamn pizza.
Yes. That's what I had.
I'm pretty sure Aaron didn't say one of those words, by the way.
Jonathan, what did you have?
A lot of that. I just loved the mall. Books at the mall. I love the thing where I'm like blanking on every character's name, but
Raj,
where the not Raj, the other one, Howard is talking about like how, you know, he's so excited he might not be Sheldon's friend anymore, and then he realizes that he still is.
Like,
and then
Danae
wrote the stop going to Sheldon's house, stop answering the phone, or just whistle, apparently. And then I also like unfounded optimism is unfounded. I like when we play around with our typical stuff. So
yeah,
felt that one deeply.
Yeah.
Tanae, what about you?
You guys did a great job on those. The only one that we didn't mention is I really enjoyed the flowchart ones too. Just how ridiculous the flowchart was when you really start to break it down. I was kind of hoping that maybe it would be really solid because of the show and how particular they are, but it was very confusing, and I'm glad that there was something in there to send because it was a central part of their plot. And whenever we can send something that's a central part of the plot, then we're in good shape.
All right, let's move on to SpongeBob SquarePants, who lives in a pineapple. Lives in a pineapple and is always on TV. Sins. SpongeBob SquarePants is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Bubble Stand. This was a Dicer Hughes script. Danae and I writing on this one. Man,
I believe
doing a,
you.
We're doing a sponge run.
Real quick, no, but because I guess I can't talk about that's future stuff. But I was making notes on an edit the other day, and halfway through, I thought, wait, did I write on this one? Am I making notes too soon?
Yeah,
it was very weird. But anyway,
yeah, we're doing.
I did not write on this one.
At once.
I did not add anything to this one.
We are in the midst of a sponge run, and I gotta say, I'm really enjoying these episodes. I have gone from what is SpongeBob to this is dumb to that's kind of funny to nope, I love this show over the course of sitting it.
Like, I don't know that I would like. I don't know that I would watch it outside of what we do, but I am enjoying. I mean, I enjoy it now.
I'm
like,
almost there.
When we first started doing it, I was like, I don't get this. Like, why do people like this? Fuck this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I'm kind of like, yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, I'm almost to the place where I'm about ready to start like binging them on Paramount Plus or whatever. Like, you know, it's
and Metscast is very happy that we like it. So.
It's just once you zone into the tone of humor, you find yourself at peace there and you're just like, "Oh, I see what's going on here. The randomness is the beauty." You know, like it's so anyhow, I don't have a ton to say about this one other than it was like the second episode of SpongeBob or something. And so this is like really early SpongeBob.
It's very simple. Mm-hmm. The early ones are, it's just a very simple concept. I feel like the deeper we get into it, the more twists and turns it takes because there's not a lot that happens in this short episode. But it seems that in other ones, there's quite a bit that happens every few minutes. The scene changes or something goes on. Here, it's literally just blowing bubbles.
So. Wait, which one is this one? Which one is this one again?
This is the one when literally SpongeBob puts up a bubble stand and he and Patrick blow bubbles after like twirling motion. Squidward poo-poos them and then ends up blowing a rage bubble, which lifts up his house. And then the house drops down, the end.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the whole thing. So.
Let's get into it. Jonathan, since you didn't write on this one, what are some of your favorites?
Just kidding. I know what a bassoon is. That's very funny.
there's a really good story with those sins. Should I tell it, Danae?
Of course you should.
It's
the whole show.
I know. That's what we do here.
It's called Behind the Sins, Aaron.
It is another one in the comments. The whole thing with the narrator completely not knowing what a clarinet is as a running gag in this episode. People really enjoyed that. That happened accidentally. Danae literally called it an oboe, thinking it was an oboe in her script.
I thought you were going to give us a band camp story.
And,
I was very
and
excited.
I thought that was hilarious, and she intentionally meant it as a joke, and so I added the, I'm just kidding, I know what a bassoon is, and then changed everything else in the script so that we never said clarinet.
Yeah.
And then she writes, I think I even commented on it, like, this is hilarious. Yeah, I was like, this is one of the funniest things ever, and she's like, well, let me be honest, thought that was an oboe.
I was in band. I don't know if now I could tell the difference between a clarinet and an oboe. They're very similar, right? Are they not?
Oh, I mean, no.
They're pretty different, in my opinion. They're both
I mean,
straight woodwinds,
it's not like it's a French horn. And
so,
what
happened at the beginning. At the beginning of my script, I called it an oboe. At the end of the script, I called it a clarinet because Squidward himself calls it a clarinet. So my sin followed it. And I didn't fix my previous oboe. Like, I didn't think about it. And I sent my script in. And so Aaron thought that I did it on purpose because I called it the oboe incorrectly. And then I correctly called it clarinet. So it turned into something brilliant. And that's just how.
That's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a little more going on with an oboe, but still, yeah. I get it. I can see. I mean, if you're not like looking at oboes and clarinets all day,
it's just, it is what it is.
No, it's great. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. Jonathan, continue. What were some of your other favorites?
SpongeBob. Starfish do not have lungs. There, I said it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really, I'll talk about why that's funny in a couple weeks. But
will you remember? That's the question.
Yeah, no, I think we'll remember.
Absolutely. No. sending what the currency of the coin was. I just thought that was really funny. Like, where did this, like, cause that would be like, do they just get money like from the, I have so many questions. And
I have so many questions JC, every episode.
I know Mets cast is just going to be like, it's a cartoon. But, so many. Well, it's like it's hard every episode. Like I start to write and then I'm like, no, we've got too many of these, this wouldn't be in the ocean, you know. But it's like, god, there's just so much stuff.
But,
I'm like,
but it's also, but it's almost become like a running gag that we understand that we always say it, like, you know, like we throw it in, you know, in crazy places because we get it. We're always saying it's underwater, the stuff shouldn't be happening underwater. So Danae, what about you?
That I did not write down very many for this one.
Okay.
I liked our outtakes on this one a lot, though. The pink elephants, things like that, which was really fun too, because I'm like, this is from I have a memory. There's another pink elephant somewhere. I'm like, where is this in my subconscious? So I had to go on like a little hunt to find that one. And then one person in the comments was like, thank God it was in there. I was like, I did that for you.
Yeah, I also got a lot of shout-outs for the Saxaboom outtake where he starts to play his clarinet, and then I inserted a clip of Jack Black playing the Saxaboom on Jimmy Fallon, which is a great clip if you've ever seen it. Watching Jack Black play this kid's instrument like it's a rock and roll to end all rock and roll. It's just
Jack
the best.
Jack Black is the best. I don't think we appreciate
really
him
is,
enough.
He's so good.
Like, he's so good.
He makes some movies that aren't that great, but he's just, as a person, like, he's just, he has to be just like the most fun person to hang out with. Like, he can't not be fun.
I was researching an outtake for something and stumbled upon just a random scene from the Pick of Destiny movie.
Which isn't good.
No,
in my opinion.
It's not. But it was just the scene where he was meeting Kyle Glass for the first time. And I was dying. Jack Black is so good in that scene.
I haven't seen that since it came out. I wonder if I rewatched it, if I would be like, you know, there might be some things in there that I find funnier. I just remember at the time I was kind of disappointed because I was such a Tenacious D fan and I was just like, ugh, what was that?
Oh, it's so funny. It's so funny.
School of Rock is one of my all-time favorite comedies. Yeah. He's amazing.
Let's see. You mentioned most of mine. I did want to mention That's Not Art, That's Just Annoying, and then sending it by just saying NFTs. I was glad to get an NFT sent in there. And then the only other one I wanted to mention, just because it's a really beautiful pun that is hard to appreciate because it's not a common word. But when he blows the bubble, when he makes a lot of noise and blows the bubble, and then it just like drops. And the sin is eructile dysfunction. Eructing is another name for like burping or making noises with your mouth. And so like it was one of those perfect kind of like puns that nobody's going to get because nobody uses the word eruct.
No.
So yeah.
Nor do we use masticate, but it makes for great jokes.
It does. All right, we can move into music video sins. Olivia Rodrigo, Deja Vu. Jonathan, a lot of Olivia Rodrigo going on at your house, right?
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about what my daughter said?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. My daughter is a huge Olivia Rodrigo fan. And I don't remember how she found out we were doing this. I think her and my wife were listening to that's what it was. They got home the other day and my wife was just texting me like, "Hey, we're still in the car listening to a song." I was like, "Okay." And then they came in a few minutes later and they were listening to this song, the Deja Vu. And then I was like, oh, that's what, you know, I just reviewed and edited that today. We're sending that this week. And then my daughter got really mad. She was like, what?
What? How and can
then
you event, do that?
And then of course I blame Barrett, you know, because I had nothing to do with it. And she then said Uncle Barrett is mean, and she walked off. She's a little upset, but she had a smile on her face, so I think she's okay. She gets it. But this is the first time I've ever actually seen her like be a little irritated that we were sending something, you know, specific. So anyways.
Yeah. Fun times.
But no, she loves her. Yeah. There's a lot of, I hear a lot of Olivia Rodrigo at our house. Yes.
This song is fine. If I go into my classic overthinking of the lyrics and such, it's a really unhealthy outlook. You know, this idea of holding on to past relationships in a way that make you obsessed or you know, focused on the person from your past relationship. It's also a natural thing. So like, I'm not like denying that it's something worth exploring or singing about. You know, but the movie never really, or the movie, the song never really finds its way out of that. So in really, you are one step away from a real problem when you're in that mindset. Like, you are one step away from, you know, actual stalking and prison and all that kind of stuff and murder. But I think it's okay. I think it's good. I think the song itself is, you know.
Yeah, it's
she's,
fine.
She's great.
I mean, she seems like a. I mean, she's got talent. She was on Saturday Night Live here recently too.
Yeah,
so I saw her
last
in that.
Week.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Because she was on the Keegan Michael Key episode or whatever. Is that right? Mm-hmm. I think so. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
But yeah, no, it's fine. I'm with you. I think I agree with you 100%.
Tanae, did you have any thoughts on the song itself?
Nah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we can get into the sins on it then. Barrett writing this one. Danae, why don't you start us off on those then? What were some of your favorites? Yep, that was a good one. Yep, I like that one.
I really enjoyed the sin about like that led to the "this cheeseburger is great, but I already had one with my ex."
Yeah, that was my favorite.
The point, just pointing out how stupid it would be that you can't repeat things with your next person and how impossible that would be. But just going to cheeseburger and how the delivery of that one was my most favorite. On this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That was the best, too. Barrett, hey, this cheeseburger is great. I don't know what that voice was,
yeah.
But it was.
He was eating the cheeseburger as he was saying the sin, and it was really funny.
I had to pause the edit because I was laughing so hard. Yeah.
It was almost very Patrick from SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a little bit of that there. What about you, Jonathan?
Is Olivia editing this video footage now? I have to say she's putting a lot of effort into this stalking. I thought was, which I guess we've kind of already touched on. And then Barrett once again, just the syntax, just him having issues with stuff not being capitalized. There's no accents.
He's very perturbed.
I can't remember if that's the one. I had this one written down to say this, but the, yes, I'm yelling at a cloud part.
Yeah, that was
really
the same
made
one.
Life. Was
and
that
he gave
the same
it like
one?
31 yeah. cents or whatever. It
yeah,
was.
Yeah. The only other thing I had to mention was the shower curtain argument, and I love it when a sins video will have like just actual real life practical advice in it. And this is one of those moments where it's like, guys, don't leave your shower curtain open. That's how mildew forms. You have to, you know, close the shower curtain so that it can dry out and not form mildew. And yeah, I mean, that is a legit conversation my wife and I have had, you know, about because I'm somebody who likes the shower curtain open because I get scared that somebody's hiding behind it.
That's adorable.
No, you're not. We have ours closed. Well, we have a walk-in shower in our main bathroom, but if I use the guest bathroom, I always check the shower before I sit down.
That's crazy.
Isn't that weird? No, I have the same thing.
That's so interesting.
We've seen Psycho too many times, I guess.
That's probably
that wouldn't be the same thing, though. He wasn't actually in the shower, but anyway.
The answer, of course, is a clear shower curtain that you can then leave closed. But,
okay, so let me just be very clear. clear curtain. I don't check the curtain, but I do know where objects in my house are that I could use to defend myself.
Fair enough.
For me, I am prepared. If there is something that's going to happen, I know where within arm's reach I have weaponry.
I think it has to do with being in a vulnerable position too, right? Because
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you're not, you know, ready to defend yourself, I guess.
What, in the shower?
No, the bathroom.
Using the bathroom.
It doesn't matter. Once your life is threatened, you don't care if you've got a hanger. You're just getting up and you're just taking care of business. You're going to defend yourself.
There's nothing rational. Yeah. There's nothing rational about it. I'm just saying what goes through my head.
Are we just going to brush by that she said have a hanger? We just going to brush by that?
No, well, at first, I thought she meant, like, I was confused. I thought she was talking about coat hangers.
No,
like,
no, you can use it as a weapon.
You have a
I'm just
coat
saying,
hanger to attack.
I don't care if you got a peeping rat. You got to take care of business.
You just use it to your advantage. No one wants shit in their eyes. Smear it on their face. You know.
Oh mercy! I don't care if the turtle's head's only halfway out. You got to do stuff sometimes.
I do want to say though, Jonathan. I know that that's a trigger for you, so I'm not saying that.
I started it.
Okay,
that's true. That's fair. So I did want to mention the shower curtain argument because I like that as well. All right, let's move into Cinema Sins. We'll kick it off with Isle of Dogs, not I Love Dogs, although that wordplay is intentional, I'm sure. So I Love Dogs, Cher Watkins script, Barrett and Jonathan writing on this one. I like this movie. I don't like it as much as Wes Anderson's other stop motion,
Fantastic
Mr. Fox. But I do like it. It's quirky. It's interesting. I vibe with it a little bit.
I had never seen it. I'm pretty sensitive towards animals in movies. So
sure.
When I knew what the movie was, that they were abandoning dogs on a trash island,
mm-hmm.
that just didn't really pique my interest. And the first time through when I was watching it, I think I was a little sensitive to that. I was kind of like hesitant. Like I was kind of assuming shit was going to, you know, go. And there are a few uncomfortable scenes. Absolutely. But I had never seen it before either. But then my second time through where I was really doing the sinning and stuff. So the first time through, I was kind of about it. I thought it was fine. Second time through, I kind of fell in love with it. It's very charming, which that's a Wes Anderson staple, I guess.
Yeah.
I agree it's not as good as Fantastic Mr. Fox. It'd be somewhere probably like on the second tier for me of his films.
Yeah, that seems right.
But yeah, no, there's the voice work's really good. I really like Bryan Cranston. I think he's great in this.
Mm.
And Edward Norton is excellent. And it's just kind of charming. It's funny. It's also sad at times. I wrote that scene about this being the most uncomfortable, like 40 seconds of watching a movie.
Sure.
You're just like, you don't know what's going to happen to that dog. And
I think there's something Wes Anderson does with his, not just his stop motion. He does this with his human characters as well, where the words he puts in their mouth are so almost understated and downplayed. And it just works. There's something about it that's both a little bit funny, but also a little bit, there's a little bit of, you know, pathos to it as well. I don't know. I dig it. I think it's kind of an interesting tone.
Yeah. When you talk about, like, if I ever have a conversations about, like, favorite directors, like, he never really comes to my mind. But then when I watch one of his movies, I'm like, he might be one of them. Because he has his own, like, there is a Wes Anderson movie is a Wes Anderson movie. Like, mm-hmm. Nothing like it. And maybe people have tried, I don't know, but I don't know anything like it. I mean, he's kind of coming off that 90s indie scene a little bit. Cause like, you know, late 90s is when he came onto the scene with Rushmore and stuff, but it's not even like that. Like, I guess like Noah Baumbach and like Whit Stillman might be like the closest to him, but it's still not the same thing.
Yeah.
He writes characters and like you're saying, understated, it's real casual. It's really calm. Like it's just, no one gets upset.
Mm-hmm.
In a Wes Anderson movie, it's just, it's the weirdest vibe. And when it works, it's amazing. It's just, it's like listening to a Jack Johnson song for like 2.5 hours. It's crazy.
Yeah. The movies of his that I love, but I also hate some of his movies as well. Like there's some of his movies I just can't.
They don't work.
They don't
Life
work
Aquatic,
for me.
Yeah. There's definitely, when they don't work, it's bad. But when they do work, it's awesome. Did you end up watching the video, Danae? I know I kind of like gave you a slight warning about it.
Yeah, I did end up watching it. I was, I kind of went in a little bit prepared thinking, because you had said that there was some, you know, just some dog sensitive stuff. And since I have a sensitivity to animal situations, I appreciated the heads up. But yeah, I just kind of put it on the background and sort of listened to the sins rather than watching it to see if, but it really changed my sins experience when I did that because I missed a lot of context.
Yeah.
I think the style of movie will always be something that intrigues me because it's different and seems special. It's abnormal. And there's a care that goes into it that I think I really appreciate it because of the time consumption that it takes to put something together that looks like this. And I would be tempted to watch it, but I don't know. Do you guys think I would like this one? It just seemed like it was kind of weirdly paced.
It is really hard to say. I don't know that you would.
There's no violence to dogs, right? Like, there's nothing like, there's a dog fight, but there's nothing like, there's not humans like hurting dogs. Right. It's more just the neglect of them.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, it almost treats dogs more human in the way you would see humans treated in a movie. Like, aware that humans die, well, dogs die too. Or aware that humans do this, well, dogs do this. Like, it really treats them almost as human beings, which comes with a lot of different avenues. However, I think the style might be a little abstract for you. Like, I think you might get bored. I'm not sure.
It seemed a little bit boring. To me.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if it might be boring.
I can understand if people find him boring. I mean, and like what Aaron was talking about, his bad movies, that is part of the problem.
but that
might be right. But as far as the subject matter, I mean, there are a few, like, there's a few moments where it's kind of like, oh, this is a little weird. I mean, I'm a little, you know, getting upset, but then it ends up being okay.
Live chat is dead on when they say Fantastic Mr. Fox may be a better place to start if you want to try. I think Fantastic Mr. Fox might enjoy that. And if you don't enjoy that, you know you won't enjoy, you know, Isle of Dogs. But if you enjoy Fantastic Mr. Fox, that kind of gives you kind of that inroad to understanding what Wes Anderson movies are like. And it's stop motion and it's cute and it deals with animals and
That's up there, like, my favorite, because that was in the aughts, right?
It's a great,
that's up there with one of my favorite movies of the aughts. It might actually be my, I don't know. I love Royal Tenenbaums. I love Royal Tenenbaums, but that Fantastic Mr. Fox might be his best movie. I don't know.
I don't know that she would like it, but you could almost watch Fantastic Mr. Fox with Iris. Like, it's, you know, it's really simple that way.
And ball way through that one, too? Okay.
I think she'd be fine. My daughter watched it probably around her age, and I don't think she really cared for it. There was nothing that bothered her. It wasn't like Zootopia, which apparently is like a horror movie to her. But
and like Jonathan said, Wes Anderson has this thing. I think we both were talking about this. Wes Anderson does this thing where the characters are always so easygoing. So like nobody's like angry. Like you said, anger is one of her triggers. There's very little
angry people faces.
Mm-hmm. Everybody calmly talks about things that are happening, and the swear words in the movie are all the word cuss. So it's just, you know, it's just stuff like that. It's really cute.
He's like Aloe, that's man. Funny. He's super soothing. Like it is. It's just you get like in this like I said. It's like I'm not a huge Jack Johnson fan, but that's just what popped in my head. But it's like listening to that type of music where you're just kind of like, yeah. Like, it's just real mellow.
Ooh, yeah, that's nice.
All right, let's get into the sins. Tanae, you want to kick us off?
Sure. The scientific method of sorting serum by color was a fun one.
That was funny.
I liked the one that says, because this is how you get ants. I mean, how you get your documents wet.
Yeah.
Which, just the kind of shift and how that one was delivered. And then the beautiful sushi ruined by doggy bags and tape.
Mm-hmm. I like that scene. Is gorgeous. By that sushi scene is just
beautiful. I wanted sushi so bad after watching. Even though he's poisoning it.
I want sushi right now.
Let's do it. Let's ditch the rest of the show and go get sushi.
I'm gonna
go
on
sushi, Aaron.
What's that website? Is it Grubhub?
There's several of them.
Do you eat sushi, Aaron?
Sushi is terrible. I found one sushi roll that I could stand. Maybe California roll? Is that a thing?
Yes. That's
super basic. Yeah. Which
yeah,
makes
then
sense
that's
for
the
you.
One. Then that
yeah,
is
my
the
wife,
one.
Yeah, my wife likes, like, she'll eat a California roll, but she won't, yeah.
And isn't it also fried? Is the California roll also fried?
No, that one's not, because I cannot eat
fried. No, you can
sushi.
Get them fried. You can you can get just about
maybe
anything
that's what
fried.
It was.
You
maybe
might
I
have had, yeah, I was going to say, he might have had one fried, but, yeah, like, I don't get them fried, you know.
Yeah.
there are some sushis that are specifically deep fried. Like they'll have tempura shrimp on them and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. For the most part, no. Sushi is not an Aaron thing. There's way too many weird flavors in there.
Yeah. My wife loves teriyaki chicken though. So she'll go to a sushi place with me and she'll just get teriyaki chicken.
Nice.
She's very sweet.
Danae, had you finished up the ones you were wanting to talk about?
Yep.
I will also mention, like anyone could develop and distribute a vaccine in under a year. I thought that was well played. So basically the entire second act of Thor Ragnarok then, when they're walking around the trash, that's so great. I really liked the using Wile E. Coyote physics in a movie that's not a cartoon sin, because immediately my brain's like, isn't it a cartoon? And there's like, there's a little bit of trolly aspect to that that I really like. And then, hey, you can't have a pack of alpha dogs, right? If Justin Timberlake taught me anything, there's only supposed to be one of those. So true. And then the owls are liars. I learned that from Tootsie Roll Pop commercial.
that was a good
really,
one.
Really made me laugh. And then the outtake. Sometimes there's just the perfect outtake. And this video had one. When they're playing fetch and the outtake is stop trying to make fetch happen because the dog doesn't want to play fetch. It is just like, it's perfect. It's it just is. So perfect. And I just wanted to mention it.
We had back-to-back Mean Girl outtakes because the one before that was I've got like ESPN or something, which was the one I put in. Mm-hmm. And then Barrett did the fetch one, which I remember watching. I was like, I didn't notice it in the script.
It's like it was meant to be there, but for a completely different reason.
They kind of do what they want with the mm-hmm. outtakes, so they could have done that on purpose as well. I'm not sure, but it was perfect. So.
Yeah, it was absolutely perfect. Jonathan, what about you?
Yeah, you guys mentioned most of them. I will mention I was told there'd be no ghosts in this movie or math. that is, I don't know. I know we have younger listeners, but Aaron probably knows it. Do you remember Chevy Chase as Gerald mm-hmm. Ford saying, yes. I was told there'd be no math?
Yep.
And I think that's a pretty popular thing. So maybe people know that, but mm-hmm. that's where I was happy to get that in there. I just thought it was funny. Plus, mm-hmm. doing a Chevy Chase joke in a movie Bill Murray's in is always
that always works. Yeah.
Yeah. Plot is failed by a simple hack. Independence Day taught writers all the wrong things. And Barrett, my favorite of Barrett's was holy shit, casual puppy murder is super casual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause he's just like telling that story and he's just like, you know, I was a litter of nine. The six girls were drowned at birth.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. Yep. Good stuff. Great
it was
video.
An interesting movie to send too. It wasn't hard, but it was just, I don't know. It was kind of fun in a weird way because it was just not the type of movie mm-hmm. I've ever seen before. So
yeah. Speaking of movies that aren't hard to send at all, let's move on to Prince Caspian, second
gold
of the new
mine, it seemed.
Yeah. The second of the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe modern trilogy. Or I guess it's not modern anymore. It's been a few years, but the most recent.
And they're going to, like, aren't they redoing it now? And so they're going to start back at the beginning?
I think they'll start at the beginning again. Yeah.
They're never going to. Yeah. I remember that one.
Somebody eventually is going to get to the last battle. Eventually someone's going to get all seven books.
What's the one you love, though? The one
the
you
Magician's Nephew. Yeah. Somebody please make the Magician's Nephew book. You could even make it first. It's a prequel.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the first one of these was not bad. Like,
no,
it was
good.
They did a good job. It's not great, but it's like it was very solid. I was actually surprised at how much I liked it at the time. I actually got kind of excited about this. And then I went and saw it and I was like,
this is terrible.
And
it's
I didn't remember. I saw it in the theater, I haven't seen it since. And when I was watching the video, like it's like I had never seen it before. I know I've seen it, but I didn't remember anything. So yeah. It didn't look good.
This is a Dicer Scott script. Jeremy and I writing on this one. Danae, did you watch any of the modern Narnia movies? The last three? Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Prince Caspian, Dawn Treader.
Treader worth watching, by the way? I haven't seen it.
It's better than this one.
Oh, okay.
It honestly is better than this one, but I mean, at that point,
well,
no
and they
one was
had
really
like a lot less money, I think, and because it was a different studio. I can't remember. There was something about it. I'm sorry, Danae. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I saw the first one of this new kind of reiteration. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, this is a series I enjoy. I read the books with my mom when I was little, and was there an animated one? I can't remember what
there is
I
an
watched.
Animated one. There's also a BBC series where they did the movies. Okay.
Did
that I used
to
watch
the
when I was a kid.
Nephew?
No, they got the silver chair, though. They're the only one so far that got the silver chair.
Like, Aaron's always like, hey, we're going to restart this. Aaron's like,
it
no!
It was the BBC. I think it was the BBC one that I watched.
That sounds familiar. I think I've seen that.
Because I think it was live action. I remember the White Witch very intensely. And I would put this into a category for me as a influential piece of entertainment or, you know, reading, and also just visually that definitely formed my love of fantasy.
Yeah.
And of course there's like the aspect of like religion or, you know, God that kind of plays through this story, just some symbolism that my mom would talk to me about and point out. We would have conversations about, I just remember those just real briefly. I don't remember the details of the conversations. Mm-hmm. I just remember them happening, but that this and other fantasy novels and stories could kind of have, I don't know, like a sense of purpose and value. And, you know, like growing up in a church, you're kind of just taught that the only thing that you should really pay attention to is the Bible, period. So bringing in other stories that can still evoke your imagination and like the creativity and just like your relationship with the divine, those are special things. And
he's a Christian writer too, right? Mm-hmm. Lewis.
So is Tolkien. Yeah.
I would say that they like, if I wrote a book, I don't know that I would write a Christian book. I might be a Christian that wrote a book.
Oh no, I understand.
You know
that.
What I mean? I think that's how I interpret the stories of Lewis.
But the reason I asked that though, because isn't The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe considered kind of an allegory though?
If you research that stuff, it's so interesting. It is so obviously an allegory when you read it, and then you read what C.S. Lewis says, and he's like, nope. That's not what I was intending to do. And it's like, you liar.
How did you not intend that?
Yeah. But I read the books when I was a kid,
but I did the same things too. Like there's some stuff in my campaign for Dungeons and Dragons where like one of my players would say, oh, you clearly ripped this off from this story. Like, no, actually I didn't, but I can see how it's in your brain somewhere and it kind of pops out anyhow. So I did watch the movie when it came out, and I just, you know, there's just some stories that maybe no one's going to get it really right for you, but I did enjoy the first one. I did not watch the other two because I don't know. I can kind of smell when they're turning sour and I didn't want to go back.
Aaron, and they just refuse. They like keep teasing them. Like, we're going to get, here
it's
we go.
Just like,
Hurricane took out the set. Sorry, we're not doing it.
Just want a Magician's Nephew movie. That's all I want.
I definitely didn't mean that. Like, if you're a Christian, you should write Christian. I just meant that I thought this specifically was like very much considered.
The other thing that's really interesting to read up about, if you want to, and I actually did read more of this while I was researching for this this script, is the relationship between Tolkien and Lewis is really interesting.
I've heard that.
In fact, the Lord of the Rings books would have never been written if Lewis hadn't like stayed on Tolkien to write
Isn't
them.
That
like
crazy?
Lewis was like, this is good, and Tolkien's no, this is crap. And Lewis is like, no, like people will love this, keep writing this. Like the stories are really interesting. Their friendship is a really fascinating thing to take a look at.
You hear that a lot with writers and stuff. I mean, even in like movies, like, you know, the Lucas Spielberg stuff back in the 70s, like there's a lot of reasons, like, you know, why Raiders of the Ark exists because, you know, and stuff like that. And even De Palma, it's just, stuff like that's always fascinating.
Yeah.
But I will say this, like about that relationship too. I'm glad you bring it up because it's an encouragement. If you have somebody in your life that keeps telling you to do something because it's like you should just pursue it, and you have a lot of people or just several people that are really insistent, maybe try it out. Maybe go for it.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Like if somebody's saying, you might be able to write sins on sins videos, and you're like, no, I couldn't do that.
That's
true. You should maybe try it.
Someone's like, hey, Danae, you should really watch this movie. Maybe she should watch the movie.
I think it just got a little bit personal. I think it just got a little bit different.
Kidding. I've never actually done that. I was just making fun of Aaron, basically. But also, real quick, real weird. I weirdly love Shadowlands, by the way. If you're a C.S. Lewis fan.
Sure.
That is a great movie that for some reason just... I think at the time it did okay, but like it's definitely not something people talk about anymore. But that's Anthony Hopkins plays him, and Deborah Winger plays wife, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's a powerful movie.
Yeah,
powerful
it really
movie
is.
About grief, and yeah, no, it's good stuff.
Okay, but when is one of you guys bringing me sushi?
Well, let's get through the let's
Aaron
get through
didn't
the
bring
sins.
Me a banana shake the other day. So
Jonathan, why don't you start us off? What are some of your favorite sins from this?
Oh, in the industry, they call this the doom and gloom to womb zoom, of course.
I mean, this happened so much, but now it has a title. Doom and gloom to womb zoom.
It is. It's one of those cliches where it's like, oh, no, somebody's in trouble. They're screaming. Oh, no, they're giving birth.
Oh, they're giving birth. Yes.
Yeah.
The womb
And then I was
zoom.
Like, I was actually, I My remember God. I was surprised when Aaron... I knew this before today's episode, but when I watched that the first time, I was surprised Danae hadn't written on that episode. I hadn't written on that video. I assume this was Jeremy because it felt like Jeremy, but this entire city was destroyed except this spot, which no one ever found. Eat my ass.
Yeah, you assume correctly.
I also like when the character said, like, I think I've already found what I'm looking for, and the sin is you should tell Bono, poor guy. The only difference between this and Game of Thrones are the camera angles, and this probably has a better finish. Thought that was great. Just the idea, the audacity to say Prince Caspian ended better than Game of Thrones.
I know. That's
and
what
it
I
might
thinking.
Be true.
And it's true. That's what I was thinking. I enjoyed putting that one together. Danae, what about you?
Let's see. When he tears his shirt to make a torch and his brother is getting a flashlight. And that's why this movie is 2 hours long.
This movie is so long.
There are so many sins that reference the length of the movie, but each sin references the length in a really interesting and hilarious way. And I was so happy to see the repetition of that. And that was when I wasn't expecting, like, he's tearing his shirt to make a thing. And then he finds it. And that's why this movie is 2 hours long.
Well, that one point where you guys said that center, it's like, it's still an hour longer. And I'm like, holy crap.
It's
like,
true. What? I had that experience. I was like, oh, good. We're to the final battle. Let me check the runtime. There's still an hour left. What in the world?
The things never happen the same way twice. And then it's ironic coming from a Disney lion who is also a king. Thought that was clever. Just another time when that killed me was when Jeremy's delivery was like, let me just check on this. There's another hour of fucking what?
Yes.
Of what? And then the Zelda outtake really cracked me up.
Yeah, you have to, anytime somebody gets loot from a chest, I mean, you got to go with the Zelda outtake. I'd also mention 9 armed guards at the execution, 2 guys with pointy sticks by the city exit. Yeah, makes sense. I told you we should have killed him when we had the chance. You know why we can't? And then the answer is because the movie's named after him.
It's just
a different way to say plot armor kind of thing. You should tell Bono, you mentioned. I really just liked the, man, remember school? That sin just slayed me.
That one killed me.
And my anger mismanagement for this week, a sin that makes me unreasonably angry, is the face armor that they designed for these people with huge eyes holes that just completely leave their eyes open, but are formed to fit their goatees. That just, for whatever reason, really ticked me off. Mm-hmm. Let's see. This movie went from Mouse House to Bloom House real fast. I enjoyed. And then I wanted to mention the Regina Spektor song at the end because it's so good. It's such a great song,
that
and
happens.
It's so weird to have it pop up. And it wasn't just over the credits. That's the weird thing. Like, all of a sudden, like, as the movie is happening, this incredible song pops up. It was just, I don't know. It kind of took me out of it.
It's just like, you know, I mean, soundtracks aren't what they used to be. And they weren't even,
right.
They weren't even at that point. But you still, every now and then, yeah, you just get a really killer song for a movie. And it could be a bad movie. I did want to mention, one I forgot to mention, though, was, dude, your sister's hot. Dude, I know.
Yeah.
The delivery of that was awesome. I had to look up, though, real quick. I was like, man, how old is this girl? But she was 20. So it's like,
yeah. Yeah. The other thing about this one, it's nice to be seen. Many, many people messaging me privately, publicly, in chats, different places, like, I know you wrote on this one. This one,
that's
I can feel you, whether it was the Doctor Who stuff or the puns or the womb zoom or whatever, people were like, Dicer did this one. And then I got to tell you, that's fun. It's fun to be known and seen in that way. So I appreciate that. Let's move into keeping tabs.
Hey, podcast peeps. It's me again. Those are my dogs. Those are my... every time I talk... Wow. Is this how Aaron feels? When we're... Okay. We're going to try this. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasense.com/BTS. So go fill it out.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Ha ha! Oh, jeez.
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations.
We're each going to take a look at some of the things that we encountered while putting together the content for the week. Maybe some interesting Google searches, some deleted sins, maybe some research, whatever you're thinking of. I can start because we were just talking about Caspian, and I'll continue in there. Somebody in the chat was saying another one I knew was Dicer was the Trebuchet sin. You are correct, and that is my keeping tabs for this week. And I think the sin basically was like something, I didn't write it down, but there was some trebuchet wordplay. It's a trebucham, that this is a trebucham, you know, that kind of stuff. So I did want to research and make sure that automatically loading trebuchets weren't really a thing. Now, it may just seem common sense that they aren't. You can possibly design them this way, but the counterweight has to be reloaded in a way that will allow for the continuing of the force, because obviously perpetual motion doesn't exist. It's not a real thing. So there has to be some extra force counterweighted somehow. So yes, they could exist, but they would involve a lot more gap between. Even if they automatically loaded, they would have to be manually powered up. So I felt pretty good sending that. And of course, the fact that all of a sudden they're going 40 feet further, you know, just by a single command. It's like, you know, it was a really, really strange device to believe could actually happen. So, but I did research that and was comfortable enough going, yep, those trebuchets couldn't work. So I'll mention that one.
Yep. And that's all the time I'm spending on that.
Jonathan, what about you?
There's not much to mine, but I did, I'm trying to remember how I was looking up something on owls, and I came across the thing where we had a sin in Isle of Dogs where they say, go get the owl some water, and then come to find out that owls typically don't just drink water like from a pond or anything. They drink it from the corpse of whatever animal they've killed.
Great.
Which, I mean, maybe that's really common with animals, but it wasn't something I had ever heard before. So I just decided to put it in there. I don't know. There was just a lot of owl stuff going on in Isle of Dogs. So I was just kind of Googling owls and seeing if there was anything I could use. And I just randomly came across that. I was like, hell yeah.
Nice.
And I also found out that they can, which I guess I knew this, but I didn't know the extent of it, but they can, they don't have traditional eyeballs like humans do, which is why they have to turn their heads. I guess they don't have like, they can't move their eyeballs. And some can turn up to 270 degrees. Like that's that's exorcist level.
Yeah, I learned that when I send.
It's crazy.
The owl people of the
The owls of Gahul. Yeah, I guess I forgot we did that one. So the I'm sure you know a lot about owls. You might have.
Yeah, oof.
The drinking the water from the corpse thing was just, that was haunting. And now I'm scared of owls, so that's good.
As you should be. You always should have
throw
been.
Throw that on the list.
I'm glad you're finally there.
People behind, imaginary people behind shower curtains. Owls. I also shared with Aaron and Danae today. I have an irrational fear of being scalped. It's like,
listen, I will tell you again right here, as I did in our Slack chat. Being afraid of being scalped is not irrational. That is worth fearing.
But it's not like, is that a common thing in like Nashville, Tennessee? I mean, like, where am I going to get scalped? Is what I guess what
Listen,
I'm trying to
I
say.
I live in a landlocked state. I'm still afraid of drowning. So, like, you can be afraid of stuff that isn't likely to happen. Danae, what about you?
Ooh, well, I obviously dug into all the bookshelves in the bookstore. Yeah. There was one comment that kind of like, you know, where I was like, just made me twitch and it irked me slightly, which the idea was that the behind the counter book area is where people return their books. And so they haven't been put out into the store yet. I thought about including something like a wink to that because I've worked in a bookstore before, but this was not that. This was like a little information desk area, and there were rows, and there were several that were on display. So it was a display case. There was front facing books, and there were repeated ones. There was like sections where there was five or six books all together, as if that was where they belonged. So I did my research, and I almost commented on their comment, but I was like, you know what? I think maybe I'm just working too hard this week, and I'm looking for an outlet for my rage, and I should not. Right.
Something bad is about to happen I start typing here.
Yeah, if I let this go, the deluge will continue, and it'll be like, whoa, Danae.
As someone who has frequented so many bookstores, those shelves behind the counters, they have returns, and they also have on hold, like people that have ordered stuff, right? They're rarely like more than a third full. Like, because I mean, if that was returns, then that bookstore's not making any money. Because I mean, that was a lot of stock that people were returning. I mean,
right.
I don't think that's what that was supposed to be at all.
No, I don't think so either.
So just to kind of give a little bit, there was Nostradamus and his prophecies. There was the Depression workbook. There was the internal world and external reality object relations theory applied by Otto Kenberg. There was also A Man and His Symbols, the Diet Principle, The Train Robber's Daughter, The Melodramatic Life of Eva Evans from 1876 to 1970, and The Cooperative Dream, which was a history of the Kauai Colony. Mm-hmm. In California. It's a rich history of their
of course
of yeah of that,
you ordered that,
area.
That book, right?
I have to say it was you know, sometimes you just spend too much time on a sin. This was one where I wrote a few variations of this sin where I thought about almost like having the narrator say all the titles and, well, that should be over here in the biography section and blah blah blah, and it was so wordy and clearly over the top. So I didn't need to do all of the research that I did, but I did. I clicked on them all. I made sure I understood what section that they should be in. I went super nerdy on it. Some of the variations was to actually try to visually reorganize the bookshelf and talk about the sin, like these should be up here and this should go over here. But after an hour of writing variations of this one, I landed where it was. I really did enjoy it a lot, and the editors did a great job. My notes for that one, this is really interesting. So to me, it's interesting. you know, you've got this visual of the guy standing behind the bookshelf, and you've got like six bookshelves you can see behind him, but we're only talking about four. And I labeled each bookshelf like upper left quadrant, upper right quadrant, lower left, you know, like this. And so when I was doing my notes to the editors, it was all in code. It was like fourth book over in the upper left quadrant. The title of the book is this, blah, blah, blah. And like, so it was really intricate.
Nice.
And I thought I had kind of maybe overdone it, but they nailed it. So it was a neat moment as a writer talking to an editor to kind of go, hey, you literally delivered exactly what I wanted in my mind. And I communicated well enough to you that I didn't even, there was no fixes or anything on it. There wasn't any, oh, it was actually this book, or
no,
oh, it was over here. It was literally the very first time we saw it. It was perfect. And that, that happens when you kind of learn how to communicate. And that was a kind of a cool moment for me actually as a writer to the editors. They really did a good job on that edit.
Well done. All right, let's move into the comment section. I want to know
what you're thinking. I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
We're each going to take a look at a comment from the various places that people comment at, whether it be the YouTube videos, the Discord channel, anywhere that you can leave a comment.
Whether it be the YouTube or the Twitter.
So, Danae, why don't you kick us off? What's your comment for the comment section this week?
Mine comes from Bobby Phillips, who on SpongeBob says, quoting the sin of what? Do you live under a rock? And then the comment is all in caps as Bobby screams, how have I never gotten that joke before in over 20 years of SpongeBob? And I really enjoyed that.
That's great. That is always fun. For sure. I will go with the series of comments on the SpongeBob that starts with, I like how the narrator didn't realize it's a kazoo. That's the first comment with a bunch of likes. And then under it, somebody says, fool, tis a snare drum. And then somebody under that says, I don't know what you guys are talking about. It's clearly a block of cheese. And then somebody under that says, nope, it's mayonnaise. And that went on for maybe 20 comments. So love That's seeing that beautiful. Kind of fun stuff in the comment section.
Beautiful.
That is a blast. Jonathan, what about you?
I actually got, we shared a video last week. I was talking about like just, I guess, raising my daughter and, you know, not getting the whole, like, you need to have a shotgun, you know, ready for when your daughter starts dating. And then Jennifer Kittle, one of our listeners at JSDK1229, shared a video with us of Harry Connick Jr. on the Ellen DeGeneres show
Right. Talking
about this exact topic, because he has three daughters, I think, and two of them. Well, they're older now because this was like 5 or 6 years ago. But at the time, I think they were like 12, 17, and 18. So Ellen DeGeneres was asking about the 17 and 18-year-olds. And then he kind of, in a side note, just said, you know, I have a lot of friends that, you know, say the whole thing about, like, do you have a shotgun ready? And he gave this really awesome explanation as to why that's such bullshit and why that's a terrible way to think about it. I mean, it's a terrible, but, you know, it's kind of an antiquated way of thinking about it. And it's almost kind of insulting, you know, the idea that your daughters can't, aren't able to find the right person, you know, that kind of thing, or find someone that's good enough for them. And he talked about how it's all, you know, part of it has to do with how you raise them, right? That you've got to help them with that, get that self-esteem, and, you know, to where they can seek out people that match with them better. And then he was like, you know, you don't need the damn shotgun. It's really awesome, like 45 seconds or something.
Yeah.
And I was really happy that Jennifer shared that, because that's exactly what I was trying to say, and I couldn't figure out how to say it. And so Harry Connick Jr. and I are simpatico. And if you want to check that out, if you go to YouTube, you can just search like Harry Connick Jr. on his daughter's dating, I think is what it's called. But it's like 56 seconds in or something is what the timestamp is. But it's So I really appreciated that, because that was really cool to see somebody else thinking the same thing, and especially it being somebody as cool as Harry Connick Jr., who most of you might know from Copycat, where.
Not Independence Day, Copycat. We're going with Copycat
or
instead
not,
of Independence
not his
Day.
Musical career, his mini albums.
Yeah, I knew we weren't going with the obvious, but
what does
he
say? Copycat though. What is it? The squirrel? I don't know.
Does he say kicking tires and lighting fires, Big Daddy? Does he say that?
No. He's a serial killer in Copycat, but he's very good.
He is very good.
I love Harry Connick Jr.
I love Harry Connick Jr. in so many ways. I think
he's
so talented.
And he's an awesome father.
Apparently, he has been on my concert bucket list for a long time, and, you know, it may not be one I ever get around to being able to accomplish, but he is just such an incredible musician, so talented. He did during the pandemic, he went down to his studio and produced an entire album by himself, played all the instruments, did all the vocals and that kind of stuff, which he's done before. He's had other albums where he plays every instrument on the album. But he's just such a talented dude.
And doesn't age. I swear to God, that dude doesn't age, because he's been around forever and he just looks the same. It's like, how do you do this?
My favorite all-time American Idol judge as well. Loved it when he was on American Idol.
Oh, that's right. I stopped watching at that point. I forgot he was on. Yeah. That's right.
All right, let's move into Beyond the Sins.
To infinity and beyond.
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
We're each going to chat about something else from the world of pop culture that we have seen recently. Jonathan is going to kick us off this time.
Yeah, I actually saw a couple of new movies this week, 2021 movies, but I'm actually going to talk about the one I didn't really like that much, because the one I kind of liked was, I'll just say real quick, if you're interested in checking out Oxygen on Netflix, the new Alexander Aja movie, I'd recommend it. It's a slight recommend. It's pretty good, but I kind of want to talk about Woman in the Window. Have you seen Woman in the Window, Aaron?
I have seen Woman in the Window.
You've seen the movie, not what you spy on every day.
Oh. Snap. I've seen both, actually.
Nice.
More sun tanning on her deck, but continue on.
The woman sun tanning on her deck. That'd be a great movie.
It's a great movie.
So this is based on a book from 28. It's a movie on Netflix. It's based on a novel by A.J. Finn. A.J. Finn, real quick, by the way, which I read the book before all this came out because it was like a year later. If this would, for some reason, he did come into some controversy. He's actually a pseudonym. I think the guy's name's Dan Mallory. He apparently in his past like bios and stuff or interviews, he kept saying about how he survived brain cancer, and that ended up not being true. So not really sure what all that was about. I've never looked that deep into it, but just in case anyone out there's like, why didn't you mention the controversy?
Mm-hmm.
I just mentioned. But with that being said, he's not a bad writer. It was a really entertaining book. I really enjoyed it. And so you have like an entertaining mystery, murder mystery, and then you have a really good cast. You've got Amy Adams, you've got Gary Oldman, you've got Julianne Moore, Jennifer Jason Leigh, you've got Wyatt Russell and Anthony Mackie kind of doing a little bit of a Captain and Winter Soldier, even though they're not in a scene together. But they're still both in the movie, so it counts. Falcon and Winter Soldier. This was also supposed to come out, I think, a year ago or 2 years ago. Netflix bought it during the pandemic, and they just released it. So this was supposed to be like a summer movie a year or two ago. But anyways, you have a good murder mystery. You have a good cast. I don't know how you bungle this, but my God, this movie is not good. I didn't hate it, but it's not very good. I think part of the problem, too, is with that being said, it's a good cast. One of the actors that was cast was, Fred Hetchinger. I think that's how you say his last name. He plays the son of Gary Oldman and Jennifer Gary Oldman. He plays the son of Gary Oldman, who lives across the street. They're new neighbors. And I think he was just miscast. I don't know. He's not very effective in the role. He's been in other movies where he's been fine, but there was something really off about his performance in this, and it's kind of an important role. So that was a problem. I also thought maybe Joe Wright just isn't my director. I have this problem with a lot of his movies. I wasn't a fan of what was the one with Keira Knightley, and it was like a period piece. Also kind of a mystery. It was
I don't remember.
It was Atonement. Was a really popular movie. Might have even been nominated for Best Picture. Wasn't a huge fan of that. Wasn't a huge fan of Darkest Hour. And so maybe that's it. But I don't think he's very good at directing a thriller. Or I don't know. Maybe he'll get there. But this movie. And so it's not, I don't think it's very suspenseful. It's kind of weird the way they do the suspense scenes. It's also just really odd what they do with some of the characters. Like the cops are just assholes to her, like right out of the gate. And it doesn't make any sense why they're like such pricks to her. Like and they even know like her whole story and everything, which I don't want to get into too much of that because there's a whole mystery. But it's essentially a Rear Window thing, right? Amy Adams, she's agoraphobic. Mm-hmm. She can't leave the house. And she is just basically spying on her neighbors, and she witnesses a murder, and then nobody believes her. So she has to prove that it's true. It's a perfectly fine plot for a thriller, and with this cast, you would hope it would work, but I don't know. It just didn't work for me. For probably many of the reasons I listed.
Yeah. I don't have too much to add. This movie's terrible. I am closer to hating it, I think, than you are. Yeah. I just don't think it works.
Maybe my enjoyment of the book is still like making me trying to feel a little positive. But like, no, I definitely didn't like it.
Could be. It's I think there are several issues, and we reviewed this on SifPop this past week.
I have to go back and listen to that.
I have extensive thoughts there. But overall, I just think this movie thinks it has something amazing when it has nothing to offer. Like there's like every time like I feel the movie going, look at this, I go, who cares? Like it's just it doesn't do a great job of helping me understand like the information it's trying to give me in a way that makes sense or feels impactful to me. So,
well, I haven't read the book. I mean, I read the book 3 years ago, but like I remember enjoying it, and I was just watching this movie. Like the book must have like laid these things out better, because, and granted, you know, you have a lot more room to do that in a book than, you know, you do in a movie. But still, it was just like, yeah, like the twists that happened, you know, just they're so like matter of fact. Like there's that one thing about there's something we learn about her life and her family, like maybe about 30 minutes before the movie ends. And it's just the cop just kind of randomly says it, like, you know. And it's, you know, it's like you could miss it, like, if you weren't paying attention to that one spot. It's just weird. Everything about it is weird. I think Joe Wright, I think Joe Wright has a lot to do with it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And, but I don't know. It was disappointing. I didn't think it was going to be great, but God, I thought it would just be a fun murder mystery, you know?
Yeah, it's not. It's not all that good.
It's not worth watching at all. I would not. I would go watch Oxygen if you're going to go watch a new Netflix movie.
Good call. Something else you can watch, I'll go next. Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix, if you're heading over there to Netflix. Season 2 of Love, Death, and Robots is out. This is a series of short films that are all kind of based in sci-fi. You know, robots obviously are mentioned. Love, Death. The first season was like 18 of these short films. Season 2 is like 8. So there's quite a bit fewer in this season. But I'm really glad it's back, and I'll tell you why. Two reasons. Number one is this is an avenue for creativity that just needs to exist. Just like an anthology series where people can do cool things with animation, test the boundaries, test the limits, see what they can do, and have fun doing these things. And number two, there's a lot of interesting thought processes that are going on in this TV show that I'm really enjoying watching. So it's just like, I was going to say Heavy Metal, if you remember the movie Heavy Metal. There's a real similarity to what's going on here in the idea that it's just like creative, very adult things that are, you know, being put on screen. So
are there Journey songs played during it, or Devo?
Possibly. Quite possibly.
That'd be amazing.
That would be amazing.
Heavy Metal.
I will also say that some of the realistic computer generated animation that's going on in some of these short films is blowing my mind. We are so close to getting over the uncanny valley. We're really close to where it'll be almost indistinguishable to tell. There is a completely computer generated film in this one that why does his name just slip my mind? Creed.
The guy who played Creed? Michael B. Jordan?
Thank you. There's yes, I believe
that
so.
That sounds weird. Is that
I know. That's why I hate how brains work sometimes.
I'm thinking like Michael Jordan. Did I say that wrong?
No. It is Michael B. Jordan.
Yes.
So he is in one of these, and I swear it's just Michael B. Jordan acting. Like, I mean, but it's all computer generated of him. I'm really impressed by what's going on here. And as a technical achievement alone, I think this is worth watching. But yeah, I think it's also kind of like Saturday Night Live, like in that, like, if you don't like something, there's something else coming, you know, within a few minutes, and you might enjoy that. So it's like, even if some of them don't quite hit for me, there'll be one that'll come and I'll be like, oh, that was amazing. So season one is better. Season two is still worthwhile, I think. So if you haven't checked out Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix at all, again, just to mention it, very adult concepts, very adult things happening. In these, there's violence, there's gore, there's sex, there's, you know, not stuff you're used to seeing in animated stuff most of the time. But just want to make sure you know that is there. And it's called Love, Death, and Robots.
Nice.
Danae, finish us off. What is your Behind the Sins this week?
This might be a little repeat for those that listen to Aaron and I's Monday morning show, The Morning DNA, on Twitch or YouTube's. But I am in a musical obsession, so I just want to make sure that everybody knows about Newton Faulkner, because I am still obsessed with this man and his music. I talked about it a little bit.
And his ginger beard.
On our other show. So I'm going to try not to be too repetitive for those that listen to both shows. I will say that this week and last week, you know, in recent history, we've been doing a lot with our jobs, and the stress level has been really, really high. And I kind of forgot how amazing music can be to change your mood.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of audio shows, but I have just gotten out of the habit of listening to music. And there have been several times this week where I have needed to have life from somewhere. Like, you know, you kind of like look around. I go to my phone. I go look at memes. Nothing makes me laugh. You know, it's like, I just need so something to feed my soul right now. And I've just told Google to play Newton Faulkner. And I am telling you, every single song for me right now is just like, oh, that was nice. Oh, that was unique. Oh, that had a good beat. Oh, that lyric was impactful. And I haven't found an artist that I've been quite this obsessed about in a very long time. So again, his name is Newton Faulkner. And I highly recommend that you put on his tunes immediately. And then I also found one that is an amazing troll song. It is both an amazing song in and of itself, and it is also a song that you want to share with people because you just want to hear them react to it. And it is called Down by the Lake by Dean Summerwind. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Let me look it up. That is correct. Parked Out by the Lake.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is a song by Dean Summerwind, Parked by the Lake.
So funny.
You can read the full lyrics, but I recommend you don't. I recommend you just listen to it and just let the lyrics wash over you.
I don't usually like country music, but this one got me.
Legitimately and 100%edly had my husband listen to it, and he and I are fans of this song, and we hope you guys are too.
My family too. When I posted in a family chat the same thing I just said, you know, not usually a country fan, but this one got to me. And I think my oldest son is going to use this for their first dance at their wedding next year.
Oh,
so.
My God. I actually believe you when you said that.
Yeah. So well, be careful. That's what he said. So, believe him.
It's amazing. Dean Summerwind. Now, Dean is a very talented musician. I think he actually may have been on The Voice because I was looking through his YouTube channel and there was like a appearance on The Voice. So I don't know if maybe he kind of went on and but the reason that I found Dean was because he is part of the Wild RP, Red Dead Redemption group that I found on Twitch. He plays one of the characters on that server and is absolutely hilarious to watch roleplay. His commentaries and his wit are fantastic. He also streams on Twitch as he creates music, and he's writing a song right now that is so good. And I just literally will have him playing on Twitch as he's tweaking everything. But this particular song is one that you all need to listen to. Again, Dean Summerwind, Parked by the Lake. Or Parked Out by the Lake on some. You can find it in both of those ways. And then also, please listen to Newton Faulkner.
Parked by the Lake is on YouTube. Newton Faulkner is wherever you find your music. Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix. And Woman in the Window on Netflix as well.
But don't watch that one.
That's going to wrap it up for Behind the Scenes this week. Don't forget to make sure you're subscribed. Go ahead and leave a comment or rating as well. If you've got anything you want to send us, you can do that. You can mail it to P.O. Box 881, Republic, Missouri, 65738. You can hang out with us on Twitter. I'm at Aaron Dicer. She is at Danae Says.
DeneeSays.
And he is at SamLoomis13. So for Jonathan Watkins, Danae Hughes, an owl behind a shower curtain, and myself, we will see you next week.
Happy Eat More Fruits and Vegetables Day!
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to bts@cinemasins.com. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. Find more ways to connect by visiting cinemasins.com/BTS.
Here we go. Oh, I probably should have gone to the bathroom first. That would be smart. Oh, I also need to check my levels. Fuck. Holy Toledo's. What's happening right now? Oh, maybe. Hey, will you talk some more?
Yeah, I can talk. I can talk. I know how to talk.
I got you.
I know how to talk. I know how to do that.
I hear you. Freilaven.
Freilaven.
hey, buddies, I am just expressing myself. You can calm the fuck down. Yeah, you can. Okay.
Hold on a second, though. Let me do some real quick.
Were you going to do some yoga?
No, this trash behind me is going to get on my nerves. I don't want people seeing it.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no. People are going to see your trash. People are going to see your trash. Your trash.
I get a haircut today.
Uh-huh.
And let's just say she better also trim my eyebrows.
Oh, are they doing the...
They are out of control.
Are they doing the World of Warcraft elf thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some people would really appreciate eyebrows like that. That's what I'm saying.
Dude, I've got great face hair. aside from my beard. But like my eyelashes and I should say eye hair. Like my eyelashes and eyebrows are awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
With very little upkeep.
So cool for you. So great for you.
You like to have a bunch of crap on your office floor. So.
Yeah.
I moved it to the kitchen table.
Oh, games begin.
Yeah. My wife and I both have horrible allergies when it comes to like dusting. I'm not saying we can't do it. I do dust when I need to, but I'm not trying to get out of it. But it does, you know, it does cause some problems sometimes.
The snap would have been torture for you guys.
We would have just been dust. I'm trying to figure out, that's a good question. Would you have rather still been around or would you just have rather been snapped?
I'm always going to go with still be around. I don't know why. It's just...
I know, but you could kind of see why somebody would struggle with that, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kind of like if there was a zombie apocalypse.
If there was a zombie apocalypse, I'm dying pretty quickly anyway, but yeah, I'll stick it out as long as I can.
Even though, as we've said in The Walking Dead sins, that would be the dumbest thing ever. Like, that would get taken care of so quickly.
Yeah.
Although I will say, after this past year and seeing how...
Yeah, but at the same time, you can't use this past year because we also created and distributed a vaccine within a year. You know what I mean?
Like, I know, that's true.
So it's kind of got both sides to it where it's like, yeah, humans are stupid, but also we can do amazing things.
But we also might have tails in a year. I don't know. I mean, that's what I hear. So
that'd be awesome. See. All right, let's do the bony pot so we can get that done before we go live.
Yeah, my answer is going to be boring.
Mine is too.
Oh, well, then give me
maybe
a second, guys.
Maybe we have the same answer.
Ooh, give me a second. No, Aaron, no. There's no second. We go now.
Give me a second. I need to find... Would you let me say my joke?
No.
We have 14 minutes.
No.
Give me a second. I also need to find a boring answer. Mine's way too exciting.
Oh, see, that was good. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Do-da-dee, do-do-bop, boop-bop, bee-da-bop, boop-bop, boop-bop-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-bop.
I feel like you just wrote a theme song for like a show on Disney Kids or something. Like,
I could write jingles without even thinking about it.
You could be the new They Might Be Giants.
And their brand new album, Flood.
That has been out for a long time.
I'm your only friend, I'm not your only friend, but I'm a little glowing friend, but really. That's like doing? It goes right into that,
it's
I think.
No, it's so good. I remember getting Flood freshman year of college and just playing snot out of that CD.
Oh, you didn't get it until freshman year of college. Gotcha.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was my freshman year of high school when it came out. I'm pretty sure I got it.
Did it come out in 90? Yeah, that would have been like my sophomore year of high school.
Yeah, 90s a really good year for music, for albums.
But I didn't know anything about those guys for, you know, until like 94 or 93, late 93. And I just wore the snot out of that album. I loved it so much. There's cool harmonies. It's funny. Like, there's interesting, quirky ideas.
It's really interesting the way it's put together is really interesting.
Yeah.
I saw them in a concert. My wife and I went like maybe 10 years ago where they played that album, but they played it backwards. They started with the last track and it was I don't know, it was just interesting.
Nice. All right, it is showtime. I'll do the countdown and we'll go. you ready? Chicka? Danikin?
No.
Jack A.
What is happening?
Mary. Did you guys watch 227?
I thought you were doing It's a Wonderful Life.
No, Jack A, the actor, the you know, Jack A, she was on 227. You don't, guys don't remember Jack A? Never mind.
No, no. Mary.
That's, she would, oh, yeah, that is, I did probably do more of it. A Jimmy Carter than, I mean, a Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter.
What is happening? What is happening?
You meant Kristen Stewart. I know what you meant.
I did. I don't know what slab bulkhead means by I seem more like a top, but okay. I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Oh, well, we can just move on.
It's a thing. Yeah. We'll tell you about it later, Jonathan. Yeah,
we'll tell you about it later.
It's the terror of knowing what the world is about. Watching some good friends screaming.
Is Bowie your favorite artist? I know you've worn shirts in the past, so that's usually a sign.
I fucking love Bowie.
What era of Bowie do you love most?
Yes. I love Bowie.
The knife. Yeah. The knife era.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god! What? I just now got that.
No. I am gonna have to let the dogs out.
Who?
Who let the dogs out?